Welcome to r/maliciouscompliance, where a selfish Karen causes someone to bleed to death. Welcome to r/maliciouscompliance, where a selfish Karen causes someone to bleed to death. Our next Reddit post is from Kanandi. My lease is ending soon, and my landlord has been showing my apartment to anyone with a pulse, nonstop, for months. During a couple of these showings, my bedroom door was locked. The landlord got mad about this and told me that he was coming to remove my bedroom door handle and replace it with a handle with no lock. He said that city fire codes don't allow locks on interior doors, and he wanted everything up to code for the new tenants. I responded that getting everything up to code was a great idea. I offered to schedule an inspection from the city so they could get all their maintenance done at once and to really be sure things were ready for the new tenants. You may as well do the whole building. I think I saw signs of rodents in the basement. Suddenly, building codes weren't so important. My bedroom door is now locked during all the showings. Down in the comments, we have this post from Zoomies. After Hurricane Sandy, our rented house was destroyed. Flooded, black mold, septic tank open and flooded, etc. We had to burn a lot of our stuff, and we lost both cars to flood damage. The landlord wanted to keep our security deposit for damages, which isn't legal after a disaster. So, thanks to work connections, I know the county zoning inspector. He comes out, declared the house uninhabitable due to natural disaster, and I get a copy of the inspection. We got our deposit back. It's always good to be petty. Our next Reddit post is from Fomentar. I was driving a semi-truck on a highway when the traffic suddenly became bumper-to-bumper on a two-lane due to an accident a couple of miles ahead. Everyone was creeping along, and I was in the right lane. Suddenly, I saw a regular vehicle, not an emergency vehicle, on my right side, the shoulder lane, passing me. There's not even an exit nearby, so I was like, hell no, and as soon as I saw the couple vehicles behind me trying to do the same thing, I immediately blocked them by going slightly to the shoulder, so I'm occupying two lanes. I got a few honks, but I couldn't care less. If I'm suffering in a traffic jam, everyone should be as well. The shoulder is not for passing. As long as I don't see any flashing lights behind me, I am not opening the shoulder. So we're just crawling away, and after a few hundred feet, I see an idle police cruiser on the shoulder up ahead. I figured that nobody would dare use the shoulder anymore, so I merged back to my lane. Turns out I was right. The shoulder had become empty all of a sudden, but that's not the end. While I was chilling, just creeping along, I heard a very annoying and repetitive honk on my left side. I looked over, and I saw this lady with huge glasses and a ponytail bending down over her seat looking at me, yelling something, looking outraged. I rolled down my window, and this is the following conversation.
You know you're blocking two lanes, right?
Huh?
I was behind you on the right lane and you wouldn't move. I honked and you didn't care.
That's a shoulder. You're not supposed to drive on the shoulder.
That's a lane. You're allowed to drive there.
While she's yelling incoherently, we're still slowly moving forward. And then I remembered there's an idle police cruiser on the shoulder that I saw a while back and we hadn't passed it yet. I'm sure everyone knows what's going to happen by now. Malicious compliance initiated. I reduced my speed even more so that Karen is faster than me by a little bit on the left lane. Then I dare her by giving her the signal that she can pass me to use the shoulder. She aggressively took it, cut in front of me, and immediately went to the shoulder. However, what Karen didn't know was that the cruiser was already around the corner. I was driving a semi-truck, so my field of vision is much higher and wider than everyone else. Karen was driving a sedan. Her field of vision is much lower and limited. What I didn't take into account was how aggressive Karen was driving. She cut the corner so quick without looking that she ended up hitting the police cruiser. Sorry, officer. It was so abrupt that I could hear the crash pretty loudly. I could also tell that the driver in front of me was gasping in shock as well. I have never seen an officer get out of their cruiser so fast before. This dude practically jumped out of the cruiser in less than 1 second. Then, this is what I witnessed and heard when I was creeping slowly by in the traffic. Not wanting to miss anything, I rolled down my passenger window. Get out of the vehicle! Karen, still inside of the car, was completely flustered. Get out now! Karen finally gets out of her car and literally word for word says,
"But I wasn't at fault. You were stopped in a lane."
"This is a shoulder for emergencies, not for your convenience to escape traffic jams."
"But..."
I couldn't hear what was going on anymore, but I kept watching my front as well as the side mirror. Judging from her body movement, she was indeed panicking while pointing at my truck, but I don't know why. Then, before the scene disappeared from my mirror, the last thing that I saw was the officer pulling out his handcuffs and cuffing Karen. Surprisingly, she complied without causing any more scenes. Then, I continued to drive off into the sunset. Down in the comments, people are saying, "Yeah, this is a really entertaining story, but you shouldn't block people like that," and people are linking this post, which, I'll warn you, is pretty chilling. Posted by Senior. In college, my best friend and I had a summer job cutting down trees from a property 50 kilometers from the nearest hospital/ambulance station. We both got the job at the same time, and we worked there for almost 3 summers in a team of 5 guys. We were all very skilled with equipment, and we'd been through extensive training. 2 of the guys on the team were professional arborists. We had all the gear, but as anyone with professional experience with chainsaws will tell you, unpredictable accidents can happen. On a late August morning, we had just finished downing a 30-foot white pine and were in the process of removing the branches. My friend was working his way down the trunk when he hit a knot in an oddly formed branch, and the chainsaw kicked back. And due to the admittedly awkward position he was in, it sliced into a seam between his chaps and his belt. The blood started flowing immediately, and everyone stopped. While the others stabilized him, I ran to get my car, knowing in any case we would have to drive. While trying to control the bleeding, we loaded him into the back seat of my car, and I started driving as fast as I could towards the nearest hospital. 10 of the 50 kilometers in, we get cell phone coverage, and we arranged a place to meet the nearest ambulance. I knew that we had to get him to the ambulance fast, because we were having trouble controlling the bleeding. When I reached a 4-lane highway, I started going faster than I had ever driven before. While in the middle of nowhere, most people would see me coming and move to the right lane, but as we got closer to town, we started coming across packs of cars. With still 25 kilometers to go to the hospital, we came across a white Nissan Altima and a Subaru Forester that blocked us in just like OP likes to do. I can still remember the license plates of those 2 cars to this day. The driver was doing everything to ensure that I didn't pass. On a 100 kilometer per hour road, she slowed down to like 90 to 75. We were stuck. We were stuck behind her for a solid 10 minutes. It wasn't until we got to the next exit ramp that I was able to pass on the inside and get by. By this point, most of our clothes had been used to help soak up the blood and applying pressure. Frustrated, one of the guys threw a t-shirt that was dripping in blood out the window as we passed by and hung out to give them a wave. He, like all of us, was covered in blood. The blood-soaked t-shirt landed midway up the hood of the white Altima, leaving a streak as it slid/rolled up and over the windshield. 5 kilometers later, we were joined by a highway patrol officer who matched our speed and helped to clear the way to the ambulance waiting a further 2 miles down the road. By that point, the bleeding had slowed and my friend had a very weak pulse. The ambulance crew was ready and waiting and transferred him within seconds of our arrival. I jumped into the ambulance and we all took off. Sadly, my friend died a few minutes later, 1 kilometer away from the hospital. My friends were at the side of the road explaining the situation to the cop when the white Altima showed up. I wasn't there for this part, so I'm going by the stories they told me. Anyways, apparently she stopped and approached the cops in such a way that she couldn't see the blood-soaked guys. She was shouting about dangerous driving and gonna kill someone, blah blah blah. The officer brought her around to look at the inside of my car, which was covered in blood, and then pointed to the other 2 guys from my crew who were covered in blood from head to toe. He explained there was a medical emergency and asked her if what she had said about her impeding the flow of traffic was correct. He cited her for a number of things, including unnecessarily slow driving and dangerous driving. While he was writing the ticket, he was informed of the death of my friend in the ambulance. The guy stopped writing the ticket to come over and tell the guys what happened. The cop opted to not tell the lady in the Altima, but the other guys on the team sure let her know. The guys got in the car and came to meet me at the hospital where we were going to meet with police to explain the situation. On the way, they passed the Subaru Forester, which had been stopped by another officer. Your best bet is to just get out of the way if you can. While the driver behind you might just be a douchebag, it may also be someone in a medical emergency. A woman in labor, a child having a diabetic attack, or a tree surgeon bleeding to death. In any case, letting them pass you doesn't affect you in any way, and it may save a life. These scenarios aren't likely, but they also aren't impossible. It ultimately comes down to how you decide to process a situation. If you want to operate on the default mode of assuming that you're right and everyone else is wrong, you're going to have a terrible time functioning in society. Lines, traffic, call centers, and dealing with big business or government will always seem tedious to you. On the other hand, if you can view the world from a more understanding perspective, you'll be able to relax and stop being such a douchebag. So, have a good life. I remember one time I was driving through a city and traffic was just awful, and I was stressed, exhausted, and in a bad mood. And it was one of those situations where it was like four lanes merging into two lanes, and this guy was trying to merge in front of me. And he like signaled to me. He was like, you know, adjacent to me. So we were eye to eye. And he signaled and I like sped up and got closer to the car in front of me to not let him in. And the guy gave me this look like, really, dude? And then just kind of laughed, sped past the cars and just cut in front of me like anyways, like several cars up. And like that moment, every time I get stressed about traffic and I have some impulse to be mean, I just remember that moment. It's like, what's the point, man? What is the point? I know it's like a simple, not very exciting story, but I don't know. That moment just sort of made me realize that being aggressive on the road is just stupid. Our next Reddit post is from Gordon Tremesco. Back in 2019, I was meeting up with a bunch of my extended family who were all attending the same wedding. As a nice gesture, I decided to pick up lunch from Panera Bread for everyone. So I take orders from about 15 people, pick up the order from Panera, and make my way to the hotel where we're going to eat. After we arrive and I start eating, I notice that I'm missing an orange juice for my nephew. I call the Panera and explain, hey, I never got my juice. Could I just get the juice refunded? Mind you, this is like a $120 meal, and I'm just trying to get a few dollars back for the orange juice that I didn't get. They say that they're not allowed to refund me and give me a different number to call. So, I call the corporate number and explain the situation. They say they aren't allowed to do partial refunds, only full refunds. So, to clarify, I say, you won't refund the missing orange juice, but you will refund the entire order? Yes, that's correct. So, I requested a full refund, and it was granted immediately. Thanks, Panera Corporate! Okay, so down in the comments, people are explaining that, yeah, this is really absurd, but actually, it does make sense to work this way. Because reversing a charge on a credit card is super simple. You just reverse the charge. But to create a second, entirely new transaction just to refund someone like $4 usually isn't really worth it for the company. Our next Reddit post is from Codegan. And for context on this post, a chicken coop is trucker slang for a way station. I drive a concrete truck. We deliver ready-mixed concrete throughout a fairly large area. Keep in mind, concrete has a shelf life of 90 minutes once the water mixes with the cement. This is very important on spec jobs. Our company uses a routing and trafficking system that I'll call terrible system. If there's a good route or a less than good route, it chooses the worst route of all routes possible. This became obvious after using it for a very short period of time. During training, new drivers are told to use this system for the final part of the route only. The problem is, every time a driver doesn't follow a route, an alert is sent to management. Early in using the terrible system, managers found a way to turn off these alerts. A new manager starts. After a year of working, he brings up in meetings that drivers aren't following the terrible system routing. Multiple times, we tell him that it gives us the worst and longest routes, but he doesn't listen. After 6 months, he states that drivers will be written up if we continue to not follow the terrible system's routing. Drivers don't listen. A few days after this pronouncement, a fellow driver is written up, and everyone is talking about it. Cue malicious compliance. The very next day, I have to take a second load to a location that I've driven to before. It's 15 miles east and then 10 miles north. Following that route takes about 45 minutes or less. We had been going to that job site for 3 months by this time, and we knew that the terrible system gave a much longer route. I was the first truck of four, and I noted on the radio that we had to follow the terrible system route as directed, and off I go. The terrible system route takes us southeast 13 miles, then north on Interstate Highway 35, which includes a chicken coop way station for non-truck drivers. Then it takes us east through a large metro area for 20 miles, followed by the last leg south of about 15 miles. It takes 125 minutes for us to arrive. The terrible system gave us an estimated travel time of 140 minutes, so I did well. I arrived and my concrete is automatically rejected. That rejection cost the company $1,000 of unused concrete, not to mention 20 gallons of fuel that I burned. The second and third truck are the exact same. The fourth truck was stopped at the weigh station and the company had to pay a $500 fine. The customer is pissed, calls the manager screaming. The manager asks to talk to me. I tell him that we followed the terrible system routing as directed, and he can verify that easily. The next day in the break room, a sign is posted stating that drivers are to use professional discretion in choosing the best and most expeditious route to jobs. Man, don't you just love how, like, half of all stories that I read involves, then a new manager started working here, and as soon as you see that sentence, you're like, ah, I see where this is going. That was r/malicious compliance, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast, because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.